Hello and welcome. This is Rita Black, director of the Shift Weight Mastery Process, and today I have a very special guest that I want to introduce to you. As you know, October is the beginning of the candy, sugar, and refined food season that lasts all the way until January. And my first guest, or my only guest today, Andrew Wilder, has a challenge that I am taking on, and I hope that you all do too. And this challenge would actually take us in the opposite direction of that sugar binge, and it is going unprocessed. In fact, his process is called October Unprocessed, and it sounds genius, and we all want to find more more about this process. So before I dive in with Andrew, I just want to tell you a little bit about him because I think he's got a really interesting background. He's the creator of the popular food blog Eating Rules, and if you've never visited it, please visit that site, and the annual October Unprocessed Challenge, which has been going on since 2010, has helped more than 30,000 people change their lives by cutting out processed food. That's pretty amazing. His philosophy is that healthy eating doesn't have to suck. Love it. And he is constantly reminding people that healthy food is and should be delicious and immensely satisfying. And we in the Shift community all know that this is true. So Andrew is a noted expert in the culinary and technical fields, having spoken on a variety of topics for conferences such as the International Association of Culinary Professionals, Food and Wine, Tech Munch, at Blog Her and Blog Her Food, and he's been profiled in the Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Eating Well, and Eating Well magazine. And I also love that, Andrew, you are an Eagle Scout because my son is a Boy Scout working his way up the ranks, and he lives in Santa Monica with his husband, Matty, and their dog, Molly. Sounds nice. Andrew, please welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So, my first question is, how did this all get started, this genius idea and this movement? I mean, you've started a movement. How did it start?
So it was back in 2000. Well, it actually goes back to 2008. And there was this big lead up until I had my aha moment. And what precipitated all of that was a breakup. So all of this was because I got out of a relationship.
out of great pain comes great genius, right?
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things you have no idea where the path is going to take you. But so I got out of a 3.5-something-year relationship, and the following January, my New Year's resolution was to try online dating. And it was just get over the stigma and try it. And that was like
right.
it.
Right, dive in.
And I did, and I actually started dating, and I realized shortly after that, oh my gosh, if I'm going to be dating, I need to get in better shape. And, you know, I had kind of let things slide. And
I think everybody on this interview could understand that. I mean, yeah. So you
right?
had let
you
things
know,
slide. So, yeah, you were in a relationship. You can let it slide. But when you're out of a relationship, you can't let it slide.
Yep. And I... right around the same time, I remember parking my car in a parking lot, and I was walking like to the elevator, and you know, it was perfectly level ground, and my body did not want to move. It was really weird.
Wow.
It's like I was walking through molasses. Just my whole body was stiff, and I realized, like, I don't think I'm supposed to feel this way. You know, I think I was 32 at the time, and you know, I wasn't in pain. It was just like things weren't working, and
right.
everybody had been telling me I should try yoga, and I finally did. And long story short, over the next few months, I really got into exercise. Yoga was sort of my gateway exercise, and I started running.
Mm.
And around that time, I was feeling so good from the exercise, I realized I should start paying a little more attention to what I was eating. I've always been interested in what I eat. I actually became a vegetarian when I was 15, so like I have a long history
oh, wow,
of sort
cool.
of paying attention to that, but I kind of lost my way, and I was by then more of a junk food vegetarian. You know, I was eating a lot of like fake meat products and that kind of stuff. And
right.
So I started counting my calories, and you know, I had an idea of how many calories I should be eating. You know, I'm like, okay, I should probably eat around 2,500 calories or whatever, but I had no idea how many I was eating. And the first day I did that, I started writing down everything I ate on a Post-it. And by the end of the, like that afternoon, my kitchen was covered in Post-it notes. And I realized, you know, looking at that going, wait a minute, there's probably an app for that. And I found the Lose It app and started tracking calories on my iPhone. And it turned into a game for me, actually. I started like trying to find foods that would fill me up and be satisfying and delicious, but also not like, you know, get me off the charts on you know, still sort of play in those rules of the numbers. And over those few months, it kind of became this self-reinforcing upward spiral. You know, we usually talk about like a downward spiral, but this one was going up and weight kept coming off and I kept feeling better and better and my dates were going well. And somewhere in there, I picked up some of Michael Pollan's books. And after I read The Omnivore's Dilemma, I had this moment of, wow, I still eat a lot of processed food. And I had this notion, like, I wonder if I could go for 30 days without eating any processed food. You know, it was just like a simple idea that popped into my head.
Right.
And I didn't have a blog or anything at that point. You know, this is just kind of me doing my thing. But I went to Facebook and I posted like this long rant about processed food. And I think it was like a note on Facebook. I don't know if you can even do notes, but it was like one of those super long things. And I tagged 20 or 30 friends to see if they'd be interested in doing this with me. And two of them actually ended up doing it with me. And so mid-October to mid-November, this is kind of when the timing happened, Dana and Lindsay and I decided to do this 30-day challenge. And so that's my origin story for the challenge.
Wow, that's great. That is great. Now, so did you, how much weight did you release overall just getting healthy and using Lose It and all of that? I'm kind of curious.
It was about 30 pounds.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm 6'2" and lanky, and I kind of hit it really well. I didn't realize, like I knew my weight had come up, but I didn't realize how much weight, extra weight I was carrying around.
That's cool. You know, just FYI, I know we're going to talk about October and processed, but, you know, one of the things that I have people do is track their food because of the cognitive impact it has with rational thinking. And like you said, you were able to kind of like look at things and change things around. And that's great that you did that. And actually 75% of people who achieve long-term permanent weight release track their food. It's just interesting little factoid. So now tell us about October and process. We start October 1st. We end October 30th. What do you define as unprocessed? So tell me, I know I went on and looked at all your rules, and just FYI for everybody, this is a really organized process. You get so much resources and information. I mean, just you should do it just to get all the input from all these amazing bloggers and people. But, I mean, what do you define unprocessed as, Andrew?
Well, I, before I give you my definition, I'm going to say that I encourage everybody to find their own definition. You know, processed can mean a lot of different things. But the definition I use for the purpose of this challenge, I call it the kitchen test. And it's basically if a person of reasonable skill could make it in a home kitchen with whole food ingredients, then it's unprocessed. Now, that doesn't mean you have to make it. It just means that theoretically you could. So if it's made by some intense industrial process that you could never do at home or using ingredients that you would never use in your kitchen, then it's off the list.
So if I could make Twinkies in my kitchen, then I could eat them.
Yes. Absolutely.
Just kidding. Okay.
Well, you know what's so important about that is, you know what, I encourage you to make Twinkies in your kitchen because if you're going to go through all the work to figure out how to make a Twinkie, right, and you're going to make this thing, you're probably going to put a lot of effort into it and caring, and there's like this deliberateness versus like running into the 7-Eleven and grabbing a Twinkie and getting back in your car and scarfing it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know. I know. I love that whole idea of unprocessed, and I love the idea that it has a beginning and a middle and an end because I think one of the things that you said in your rules was, you know, just set your intention and then, don't overwhelm yourself with it, you know, and one thing I think having a vision of just a month and how you're going to feel at the end of the month, I think that is a really great idea for anybody who's going to do this process is to really think about the outcome they want to create, because I think that, it is a challenge and getting into doing, I was just thinking about this today as I was grocery shopping, because I went grocery shopping with the idea of doing this, and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's processed. Oh, yeah, and that's processed too. Oh, okay,
yep.
This is going to be really interesting, because I consider myself an incredibly healthy eater, but when you really get down to it. Now, so I want to ask you some questions about, so what are your, yeah, I want you to like chime in on these particular products, because I know you had said beer. Now, so tell us about beer. Is that processed or not processed? What's your definition?
So, you know, it's one of the, like, after everybody asks me how to define processed, they're like, what about beer? What about wine? And, you know, which I totally get.
Well, those are
and
the two major food groups, right?
Right. So it's totally possible to make beer and wine in your kitchen. I actually have a few friends who make phenomenal beer and wine.
Okay.
So, you know, humans have made beer and wine, and cheese is another one, actually, for thousands of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the kind of processing I'm talking about. It's the modern ultra-processing. So if our modern society hasn't bastardized the processing, if it's still made the traditional way, then I'm all over it, right? That's great. And, you know, thankfully, for the most part, beer and wine are not adulterated. You know, you could, and it's a question of how much into the weeds you want to go with this. Like with wines, there are a lot of clarifying agents. You know, there are sulfites added, and it's a question of like, well, do you want to, you know, where do you want to draw the line? And that's why I can't answer that for anybody who's listening.
Right.
You know, you have to do that for yourself.
And so cheese too. Like, I'm assuming you would look at the cheese and know, like, if it's Velveeta, obviously no, but if it's a you know, made from a dairy that is reputable, you know, it's gonna, it feels good, it looks good, then you could go with it and feel like, yeah, this is not
absolutely
processed.
And, you know, a big part of this challenge becomes about reading the ingredient list. You know, it's so important to ignore all, you know, assume anything on the front of a package is marketing. Anything that gives you a benefit on the front of the package should be a red flag. So really the most important thing is to flip it over and look at the fine print of the ingredient list and look at each ingredient and say, would I use this in my kitchen? Could I produce this theoretically using that? And cheese, absolutely, you can make it home.
So, right. Yeah. Gosh,
yeah.
I never thought about making cheese. Now, that goes
for
yogurt, too, because I'm a big fan of plain Greek yogurt, and I'm just assuming, I read the side of the label today, and they were all things I couldn't really necessarily pronounce, but I knew what they were, like active cultures and things like that, but there wasn't any sort of like chemicals added, so that would probably be considered unprocessed, right? Because I could make yogurt in my kitchen if I wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. You could actually take that yogurt in the store and culture it to make more yogurt pretty easily at home.
So
actually,
cool.
You can do it in
cool.
in your oven overnight.
Wow, I wish I had more time to make everything from scratch. It would just be super fun.
Right? It, you know, there's that level too. You know, I actually was making cheese for quite a while as a hobby, and it was a lot of fun. I got really into it. I had a whole fridge, cheese cave set up, and then it just became so much work, you know,
and
life got in the way. But but actually doing it a few times is a great way to connect you to your food. You know, I have such a different appreciation of cheese now because I know what it takes to really turn milk into cheese.
Yeah, that must be so cool. I know my husband has always wanted to make goat cheese. That was like, I'm going to make goat cheese. I'm going to move to the country and make goat cheese. I was like, But you know what? It would probably be a really fun project. And you're right. It connects you to your food. And I love having the time to really cook and cook slowly. So that's what I love about this, the October Unprocessed. It is going to make me think about it. It's going to make me think through my week of meals and how I'm going to plan it. And I'm enrolling kids in it. So it's a great conversational piece. You know, for the family and bringing us all together. My kids have become, you know, they eat healthfully, but they love their junk too every now and then. And so it's a great way to bring everybody together. So speaking of which, family and friends. Now, what kind of coaching do you have for people who might get pushback from their family or their spouses or their friends with regards to, you know, being supported in this?
Well, hopefully family and friends are actually supportive. you know, that's a place to start is, you know, if you can, invite your family, friends, and coworkers to join you in the challenge. And if you're excited about it, hopefully they'll get excited too, right? But
Andrew, I'm gonna ask you just before you get into the butt, what do you feel like is the best way for people to ask people? Is it Facebook? Is it, I mean, I guess you can do it anyway. Like there's the link to sign up in the email where this interview is hosted. So would people just take that link and put on Facebook or put on, because I'm not a big social media person, but I'm assuming Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Absolutely. Email. I guess one of the things we should say is on my website, if you go to Eating Rules, you'll see the October Unprocessed logo. On there, I talk a little bit more about the challenge. And at the bottom of that page, there's this little form that just asks for your name and email address and where you're from. And you just fill that out, and that makes you officially part of the challenge. And once you do that, I'll send you an email with some tools you can use to share the challenge with your friends. But I actually want to also mention that there's something so important about filling out that little form. It lists, right below that is actually a list of all the other people doing this with you. We're almost up to 3,000, I think, as I speak.
Wow.
And, you know, I totally get that this is like some dude's blog and you're just filling out a little form on a website, right? But there is still something so powerful about signing your name to doing this challenge and making that commitment. It's very different than going, oh, I think I'm going to do this. You're making a choice, a very conscious decision to take this challenge on and really give it a shot. And it doesn't mean you have to be 100% successful, but it means you're really taking the idea seriously.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. You know, I do this process. I do a weight mastery process, and so people know that when the brain makes a decision. Like, yeah, you can talk about it all you want. You can try, I'm going to try and hope, and all that doesn't mean anything. But when you decide, yep, going to do this, your brain does this thing where you are on a path and you are focused. And I make people sign contracts when they're going to do a 30-day process because it is. It's a commitment. And when you commit to yourself, your brain takes you seriously, and it will focus on it like it won't if you're just like, yeah, well, yeah, I'll try to do this. What, October 1st? I absolutely. So go on there and sign up and sign the promise, because that is important. Absolutely. So going back now to family and friends. So if you get a little pushback from them, I'm sorry I interrupted you and we went off on this.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. So, you know, I think the first thing is to lead by example. You know, if your family and friends are rolling their eyes at what you're doing, but you bring, say you bring lunch to work and your coworkers are giving you strife, you bring lunch to work that looks amazing, that is totally unprocessed, and you're enjoying it, and they start getting jealous because their crappy takeout food is awful, you know, suddenly they're going to be a lot more interested in what you're doing, right?
Right.
And so I feel like leading, not preaching, is really helpful. But if you still can't convince people and they're not interested, we have a Facebook group. If you go to once you take the pledge, actually, I'll give you a link to the Facebook group. I think we have about 2,800 people active in the group right now. And that's where if you're stuck on something, you can post a question in the group, and people will jump in and support you and share recipes and all this stuff. And it's actually taken on a life of its own, which I absolutely love. You know, so everybody in the group is so supportive, and you know, I dip in and out every once in a while, but it's a great place to get support if you can't get it, you know, in real life, and or both, that, you know, do both. So
yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. And also, do you get people who, I guess, with the power of the group, maybe not so much so, but when, you know, when dealing with weight management, people kind of get into a like, well, oh, I blew it. I didn't do good today. I went and I ate some bunch of processed food. And like, oh, well, I'm not going to finish out the month, you know. And I encourage everybody, if you're going to do it, just if that happens, what? You just get right back on the next meal. You eat an unprocessed meal and keep going, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's there. It drives me crazy when people say, I failed today. Because that's not what this is. Like, it really shouldn't be about success and failure. It's, did you do better today than yesterday? Yes or no? If you did better, great. If you didn't, well, how can you do better tomorrow? You know? And, you know, people beat themselves up about this stuff so much. And, you know, what you ate yesterday has nothing to do with what you eat today. And what you eat today has nothing to do with what you're going to eat tomorrow. And so, you know, you can make that change any day. And, you know, I don't eat perfectly all the time, you know. We all live in the real world, right? So you have to make concessions. One of the things I encourage people to do for this challenge, actually, is at the start of the challenge to choose any deliberate exceptions that they want. So say you're working on, you're training for a marathon, right? And, or a half marathon or whatever, you've started running and, you know, you've got the schedule that you're on. And one of the things you do when you're training is you eat, what is it, goo or like, you know, these processed fuels.
Right.
You know, maybe you decide, you know what, I'm not going to mess with my training regimen. I think I can do this, but I need to do this. And then you give yourself that allowance or whatever it is, right? The key to the deliberate exception, though, is to decide beforehand. It's not in the moment. It's not when you go out to eat with friends. You're like, oh, I'm going to make an exception for this cheesecake. It's you know, there's a conscious choice to it.
Right.
And it's not about, like, willpower in the moment.
Right. It's make those decisions ahead of time and so that it's not an option otherwise. Because I agree with you when it's not an option in the brain, like, oh, processed food, not an option, it makes it so much easier. That's why when people do Lent for 54 days, most people are very successful in, you know, cutting out whatever they're going to cut out because it's just not an option. I work with smokers and they can stop smoking for 54 days just by saying, I'm not going to smoke. But when they're trying not to smoke any other time of the year, it's hard, you know. So it's the more intention you have and the more it's like not an option in your brain. But if you create what I call like a boundary around something, like you said, like a definite, okay, I'm going to eat this goo because I'm training, but everything else unprocessed, non-option, or that's processed, non-option, you know, yeah, then the brain will shut that down and it will be a lot easier. So that is great coaching. Now, I have a funny question for you. Do you go unprocessed all year long, Andrew?
You know, I'll say mostly.
Okay.
We're probably 90% of the way there. You know, the hardest part is when we're out of the house. We're really good about what we buy and bring into the house. Because as soon as it comes in the house, we're going to eat it. I work from home, so I'm going to eat it. You know, I'm not one of those people who can buy like a whole bunch of candy and let it sit in the pantry. It doesn't work.
I don't think most people can do that. There's very few. And stimulus control is huge. It's huge. So I'm curious, because you're vegan, right? Or just vegetarian?
No, actually, I'm not anymore. I was vegetarian for 15 years and then started eating fish. And actually now I'm very particular about the meat I eat. I sort of define unprocessed meat now as, was it humanely raised? Is it sustainably raised? Was it slaughtered humanely? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I choose to eat meat that comes from those sources, or no meat at all. So that's sort of where I've drawn that line for myself now.
Right. Oh, well, that's interesting. And for vegans, you know, would you define tofu as processed? Or again, I guess that's a question they have to, or, you know, like, tempeh and those kinds of vegan sources of protein, you know, a vegan doing October and process, where would they get their primary
actually protein? You know, those, both tofu and tempeh can be great. You know, those have been made for thousands of years also, you know, maybe not in American culture, but you can actually make tofu at home. I had a friend come over and showed me how to do it once. And tempeh is also, it's fermented soybeans that have been compressed, right? But you have to watch out for the extra additives on there. Seitan is another one, you know, the wheat meat. You can actually make seitan at home just starting with whole wheat flour or even white flour. The commercial stuff tends to start from vital wheat gluten, which you couldn't actually make vital wheat gluten at home. So it's sort of one of those like fuzzy spots. I actually talk about... I have a whole series of frequently asked questions posts, and this one comes up for sure. So when you take the pledge, I have a link to all the posts because there's a bunch of stuff that comes up where it's like, well, I don't know. And again, it's about like, does the benefit of this food outweigh the con, right? So if you're a vegetarian, you know, and you find tempeh, and you know, I'd say tofu and tempeh are both good for you, right? They're in the plus column,
right?
You know, and that's what this is ultimately about, right?
So
it's kind of where you want to draw that line for yourself.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. Now, Andrew, anything other than the fact that sign up everybody by what's our hard deadline? Is it October 1st, or can we sign up even if somebody's hearing this October 5th? What's our
Absolutely.
Hard deadline?
I'd love it if you can sign up by October 1st, but don't worry about it if you don't make that deadline. You know, you can start October 2nd or whenever and do your own 30 days. I will be sharing guest posts every day in October from mm-hmm. other authors and experts, a lot of recipes to help people. So like the big movement is sort of all throughout October, but it's not really a hard deadline. You know, nobody's watching you. I have no idea if you're going to follow along or not, or, you know, so it's a thing you're doing for yourself and for your family. And, you know, so you can set those rules for yourself.
Okay. And any other last tidbits or things that you feel like you need to communicate with people out there who are thinking about doing October in process?
Two things. One is make sure you go to my website and actually sign the pledge. And the other is
eatingrules.com, people.
Eatingrules.com. And the other thing is this should be fun. It's ultimately the bottom line.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know Andrew a month ago, and when you I met him at a workshop, and he said, I do this thing called October Unprocessed. I was like, that is so cool. What a great brand and what a great idea. It is a movement. I mean, obviously, there's 30,000 people. That's really impressive. So congratulations for what you've created. And I think sounds like such a fun, I can't wait to participate. And please, everybody, join me. This is going to be awesome. And Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with October in process. We look forward to being with you through this month.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have had this chance to talk with you. So, yay.
Great. Yay. Okay, well, thanks. And happy October in process, everyone.